good morning and welcome to Jenkins on this beautiful Sunday morning. Time of the service that we welcome and greet each other. So if you haven't already, stand up, greet your neighbors. If you'll look in your bulletin for the announcements, does anyone have any announcements they need to make that? Sherry? Also in your bulletin this morning, you'll see a soul run, 5K run walk. This is to raise money for the youth mission trip when we go to Puerto Rico in July. It's a $25 registration fee. We are giving prizes. It is going to be a timed race. But, you know, if you can't run, just come walk it. Okay, it'll just be fun. We're doing it here in Nolensville. It's a 5K, for those of you who don't know, is only 3.3 miles, and I think we can all do that. So I encourage you to either see Susan or me or go to active.com and sign up for that run. Anyone else? Sonia? In the pews, there should be a book for registration of attendance. If you please register your attendance and then pass it to the person next to you. Okay. Also, they're asking that you indicate if you came to the 8 a.m. service or the 10:15 service. Okay. Prayer and praise requests. Do we have any prayer and praise requests from the congregation?
Prayer request for the Miller family. Angie had a little scare last night. Everything's okay. But just lift up the Millers.
There's also a prayer list inside of your bulletin. If you'll look at this prayer list and lift these people up in prayer this morning and all through the week as you do your prayer time. Okay, now we come to the time of the service where we pause for a moment of silent prayer to prepare our hearts for worship. Call to worship this morning is printed in your bulletin. It is responsive. If you'd follow with me. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. He is holy. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy mountain. For the Lord our God is holy. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs.
In our hymn of the hymn 206, 06, hymn 6, standing as we sing.
We know You to be a God of power and a God of salvation. Thank You, Lord, for the songwriter who put it into words and set it into music that we could sing this morning about Your love, Your power, Your goodness, Your mercy, Your faithfulness, and the salvation that we have through Your Son, Jesus Christ, that You have so graciously provided for us. Bless this gathering. Bless Your people wherever they be gathered on this day. Thank You for the privilege of coming together in Your presence, that You have come and meet with us. we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we express our faith through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
During this time, and I just have, it moves me when you do that, Peggy, because this is the privilege of being a follower of Christ, that we can lay our sins at the bottom of the cross and know with assurance that we will be forgiven. The call to confession this morning: our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities. That's from Isaiah 59:12. Prayer of confession is in unison. Please say it with me. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set free from a past that we cannot change, open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. The assurance of forgiveness this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon.
Hymn 406, My Hope is in the Lord.
Oh,
That was supposed to be me. And I thought about that on the way to church this morning. So if you will allow me to, I will share in just a few moments. Nancy and I got home last night at about midnight from South America for 2 weeks. We had a glorious trip, and it was just wonderful to share with our brothers and sisters in a foreign land and to work. We do work trips. For those of you who are unaware of this part of my ministry, and we usually just go down there to work, but we concentrate on spiritual things and we have devotions every day. And this was a very special trip because we had one of the Colombians to commit his life to Christ in one of our devotions. So we were just so thankful for that. That's not usually a concentration for us, but it's always a hope that we can show Jesus through what we do. And it was a wonderful experience. I've struggled with the hymns this morning. I didn't have a chance to review them, but believe you me, for the last two Sundays, I really struggled since everything is in Spanish. They do have a screen and they flash the words up on the screen, but that didn't help much either. But we had a great time, and they do have a very enthusiastic worship service at most of their churches. But I appreciate the congregation and the session of the church for supporting this ministry and Nancy's first trip there, and she had a great time. We just look forward to another trip. And I am going back in January, and there will be some information in the bulletin about some things that you might want to do to help with the project down there. Thank you.
Today's also Miss Nancy's birthday, and I don't see her in here, but when you see her this morning, give her a hug, tell her happy birthday.
She's in the nursery.
She was in the nursery. Okay. 39 again, Sam said. Aren't we all? Okay. Our offertory sentence this morning comes from Chronicles chapter 16, verse 29. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name, bring an offering, and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Would our ushers please come forward?
55 is just a chorus of a long song when that was contemporary when I was contemporary. I say that a lot of times. But anyway, it's a contemporary hymn that has survived the years. Let's put it that way. Regular season is
Scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine,
Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Started, get you to pause and mention to you Wednesday evening, Jessica Maddox is speaking this Wednesday, and I just encourage you to be a part of the Wednesday evening worship experience. And it is a worship experience for those who participate. And pray for Jessica as she prepares. I remember her message on Youth Sunday, a marvelous job of sharing the gospel. And I ask you to support her with your prayers for this service on Wednesday. Also, we have some first-time visitors. I'm not sure that we recognize them. The Clarks are here, third row from the back, so meet them before you leave. Sunday school. If you're not in Sunday school, we have Sunday school for all ages, and we encourage that. And we have, for our guests, we have refreshments after this service in the gymnasium and basically throughout Sunday school. Verse 3, 2 Timothy chapter 4. The time will come. What time? The time when people, there's men, but people will not listen to sound doctrine. People will not tolerate wholesome instruction. And that time, I'm sure, came to Timothy, or in his day. And it's probably been present in every generation since then. And I think it's present today. People don't want to hear sincere instruction. Too often, we want to have a religion that's a feel-good experience only. And we need to feel good in our relationship with God, but there's a little more to serving Jesus Christ than just a feel-good experience. And all of my life I've heard those comments concerning how the church didn't say anything to me, or the preacher didn't say anything to me, or I don't get anything out of it. Well, from the preacher's side, maybe we're looking at it from the wrong angle. We say, let's put something into it. We're here to put ourselves into service. That's what Paul was calling on Timothy to do, basically. Put himself into service of God. I've entitled this sermon, and it was difficult to settle on a scripture. I had about 6 weeks. Every week, sermons were coming to me, I thought. And then this week it was, blah. What to preach on? And when you're not this receiving, as you call it, inspirations, you're driven to the scriptures. And I was driven to the scriptures and almost preached from Jeremiah. Well, started out from Luke. A lectionary suggestion, and that just didn't feel right. It was basically an inspiration, don't do that at this time. It's good scripture, but for this time. And then the next one, I went to Jeremiah, the lectionary lesson for this week from Jeremiah. And that wasn't right either. It just wasn't right. And then we settled on the lectionary lesson from letters from the epistles. And it felt so good and so right. And incidentally, I looked down at the pulpit clock here and it says 12:15 when I look down. That almost shocked me, but I also have a watch. So if I go past 9 o'clock, hold up your hand. This lesson talked about being a servant of Jesus Christ, or it talks about being a servant of Jesus Christ. Basically, all of Paul's letters to Timothy is something about being a good servant. There are servants, and then there are servants. There are servants that are really not servants. They want to be served rather than serve. Or there are servants who are not really good servants. And then there are servants who truly want to serve, are willing to serve. And that's in the ministry. That's in life in general. And some people who hire on as a servant or in a servant role very quickly want to be in charge and want to get out or work through that servant role. They want to be the boss. Since did y'all notice how fast Elizabeth talked this morning? Or was that me? And I thought, is my hearing gone? And then when Sonia spoke, I could understand her. Elizabeth slipped out. I won't use this in her presence. But she never did want to be a child. She always wanted to be the boss from the day she could talk, I guess. She didn't want to be instructed. And she still knows. Don't tell her I don't. But I've experienced that for 26 years. She didn't want to be the servant. And I've used my children too much. Or she didn't want to be. She never was a servant. You can believe that. Daddy was her servant, I guess. Her servant. But she wanted to be the boss. And we'd go through it time and time again. Elizabeth, you're not in charge. And she'd say, well, I don't want to be. And my response was, well, you're acting like you want to be. And that illustrates the point I'm trying to make. Forgive me for using a well-used and often-used family illustration again. But it's been so real. And some people that are the child, some children, they want to be the boss. And some parents will allow it to happen. With Jesus, some of his servants want to be the boss. And he's not going to allow it to happen. He may let us get by with it on this earth, but ultimately, we won't get by with it. So, young people, middle-aged people, 39 plus people, or 39 and holding, is that what you called it? Understand that. Jesus taught us much about being servants. And he taught us how to be good servants, but he used bad servants to teach this lesson. The parable of the talents. All three people were given talents. And one put his to good use. The other one put his to good use. But the third one went and borrowed his. Now, am I stretching that a bit to call that a message about being a good servant? Oh, I don't think I am. Think about it. He went and buried his talent. It was a sum of money that he could have put out for usury, but you could apply this to your natural talent to sing, to speak, to whatever we would do for the Lord. And then the parable of the fig tree, or the experience of the fig tree, which was, I think, was a parable also. Check me out on that one. Saw the fig tree, the landowner saw the fig tree, Jesus told about it, and the fig tree was not productive. and he said, cut it down if it's not going to produce. That was what a fig tree was supposed to do. It's still supposed to do, produce figs. And so they gave it a chance, one more year. In our lesson, the Apostle Paul is writing to a young minister. The young minister's name is Timothy. And Timothy is very possibly the pastor, the young pastor of a local church. Because if you go back and read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, you'll find these instructions about the church organization. Friend, I've been there. And being a young pastor in an established church is torment sometimes. Especially if you're a high-strung seminary student who thinks he's learned it all about at the end of your second year. You think you've got it all. And they can make it miserable on you. And Paul writes this young preacher. Don't know if he had any problems, but sometimes Paul wrote to the church in direct response to a problem. At least he was writing to a situation that needed attention. And maybe one of the problems is understanding the people who did not want to listen to sound doctrine. He urges this young man, Paul does, to be a faithful servant of the Lord. To be a faithful minister of Jesus Christ. A good minister. Paul wrote two letters to Timothy, and meant much of it. Speaks to much of his, Paul's writing to Timothy, speaks to his preaching ministry. He also speaks about his personal life. Speaks about his personal life. And I heard of a young minister in his first church the other day that wasn't doing his job. And Presbyterians have a connection. And one of the things that Presbytery is supposed to do, or has the privilege to do, is to see that the ministers give themselves diligently to the work that they're called to do. And part of this young minister's reason for not doing is we don't think he knows how. So I called his father in the ministry, not his biological father, but his father in the ministry, and suggested that he go and encourage the young man. And some things that his people were saying that he needed to do and he wasn't doing, and they had suggested some things. Well, this father in the ministry, he said, you know, I don't feel like really going to him and telling him how to conduct his ministry. So, what's that young man going to do? He's going to flounder around and not do the work, and leave that church with a bad impression. Or somebody is going to at least try to go and say to him, you need to do this, 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 and this. That's what Paul was saying to Timothy. We can't know that Timothy was not doing some things. Maybe it was just the instructions of what this is what you ought to do. Without knowing that he hasn't done some of the things that he needed to do. But Paul also wrote to Timothy about his personal life. He even told him what to include in his diet. This letter is specifically about being a good evangelist or being faithful to the task of sharing the message of Jesus. And that's, we've talked about this some time ago, maybe 6 weeks ago. The church gets lost in its activities, and we forget that we're to share the message of Jesus and salvation through Him. and we have all kind of announcements. We're taking up money for the Samaritan's Purse Christmas boxes, and that's good. And we're taking up money for the loaves and fishes now, and we've been doing this for years and years, and that's good. And we're trying to raise money for the building indebtedness. And that's, we need to do that. We need to be debt-free when we can. We need to encourage these. But our prime purpose as a church is to share Jesus. And when we get away from that, we're really just spinning our wheels. And so Paul is instructing Timothy to be faithful to the task of sharing the message of Jesus. And he writes in this letter, don't forget, don't let other things get in your way. Every Christian, though, who has received salvation through their faith in Jesus has the calling to share Jesus some way. Some way. I just heard from a high school friend. Graduated together. He happened to be the valedictorian of his class, of our class. And he's just written a book. And the book's all about going to heaven. And one of the things I could write to him, there were 30 in our class, 20 boys and 10 girls. One of the girls married a minister. About four or five of the boys are ministers, are working very diligently in the church. And I could write and say to him, I'm so pleased that out of our small group of rural country people that really might have been expected never to think about the ministry, that so many of them are faithfully serving Jesus Christ. And there are different ways that we can serve Jesus Christ. And Bill is serving Jesus through writing. Through his writing. So all of us have a calling to share Jesus. If Jesus has touched us, we're called to share Him and let Him touch someone else. Paul writes to Timothy, a good servant must keep the faith. Or he tells him to keep the faith. And to be a good servant of Jesus, you must keep your faith in Jesus. Paul tells Timothy to keep on holding to those things that you learned. He had already learned so much. Or one version calls it, continue to hold on to the things which you have learned and the things of which you are convinced. I believe the Amplified Bible, Amplified translation of the Bible, puts it that way. Sometimes preachers, as well as other Christians who may not be preachers, they forget. Especially young preachers. Three or four tough situations. Three or four failures in a church. And a young minister is just tempted to give it up. And some do. They stumble. The church is not nice to them. And they just throw the towel in, so to speak, and get on with some other life. Go into some kind of social work to fulfill their calling to the ministry. There's so many other things that crowd out the Word of God. Crowd out our biblical teachings. So Paul says to Timothy, knowing this, Paul says, keep believing the things that you have been taught. Keep believing the things that you have been taught. In the song, it was number 6, a little unfamiliar. We sang it at least once, I think, in this church, maybe 10 years ago. But in the near the end of that first verse, it talks about our faltering faith, our faith that murmur, the murmur of our faith. I believe it says, and every faithless murmur stills. This songwriter, Johann Schultz. Evidently, he had experienced that, or observed other people experiencing a faithless murmur, a moment where he was about to doubt. His faith is not the faithfulness of God through Jesus Christ. He says, Paul does, remember from where you have received the Word of God. And if you read Timothy very diligently, you'll find where Timothy received the Word of God. Who taught it to him? His mother taught it to him. His grandmother taught it to him. Can you give me their names? The mother and the grandmother. And Peggy can give it because her mother has the same name as one of them. Lois and Eunice. And then Paul had been faithful. Now, probably Timothy's father didn't teach him much. He wasn't of the Jewish faith. He was a Greek. He was a foreigner. She had married out of her faith, Lois had. But that Lois and Eunice, and then Paul, had kept teaching Paul the Word of God. And the other thing that we need to know, it is a word from God. It is a word from God. We must remember that. And Paul was telling Timothy, remember, it's a word from a God. The Old Testament, the law, the first five or six books of the Old Testament, the prophets, the wisdom literature, and then I'm sure he taught him some history also, or he had been taught some history also. Plus, Timothy had heard what the apostles had spoken, at least what the apostle Paul, the apostle, had spoken, which became the New Testament and what he wrote. The prophets had spoken what the Lord delivered to them. Paul spoke what the Lord gave him to speak. One place in particular is when he wrote to the Corinthians about communion, the 11th chapter. He said, I delivered to you what the Lord has delivered to me. And then, why did they need to remember God's Word? What is so helpful about God's Word? Well, it makes one wise. But it's not with just any wisdom that it makes us wise. God's Word makes us wise unto salvation. God's Word, even the Old Testament, taught people how to be saved. And Matthew's Gospel, throughout the Gospel, his Gospel, he is referring back to the Old Testament to say, this is what it meant when such and such a prophet said a passage pointing to Jesus. The Old Testament points to Jesus. Tells us how to be saved from our sin. Tells us that salvation comes through faith. And if we do not believe the truth of the Word and the goodness of the Word of God, it will do us no good. Paul goes on to say, remember what you've been taught, remember the Scriptures, because it is useful or profitable for the purpose of living as a Christian. It not only gets us saved, but it tells us how to live as a Christian. And especially as we get into the New Testament. It tells what is true and reproves us or corrects us for that which is false and directs us into that which is good. And then Paul reminds Timothy that the Word, the Bible, equips the people of God for living in a world that is certainly was not in Timothy's day a Christian world. And we're getting away from being a Christian nation. It equips us for the good work that we're called to do. And he goes on to talk about it being the perfect word or the infallible word, as one theologian said. I believe it was Matthew Henry that I read behind. It's the infallible word of God, the rule of faith and practice. And the word is to be consulted and followed. And if we do that, it will make us people of God. We're following the word. And then Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. And then he says, keep at it. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the word of instruction that your servant Paul sent to your servant Timothy. And we thank you, Lord, for those church fathers who preserved this for us. We thank you for the full word, but we thank you for this reminder of what your word does for us. And Lord, we thank you for those who taught us when we were infants, and those who taught us along the way, those who helped us come to trust your Son Jesus as our Savior. And Lord, we thank you that you help us through those faithless murmurs that we have. And Lord, we thank you that you give us strength when we don't have any strength of ourselves. Lord, speak to us this day from your word. And thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Being a faithful servant of God means that we live for Jesus. 372 is the song, and let's sing together just the first verse of 372. And you might have a public response that you would make this morning to God's love that's revealed to you through Jesus Christ. Or some commitment that you would like to make, having already responded and feel that God is calling you to some work for His kingdom. I'll meet you in the altar if you so feel that God is directing you and urging you to make a public commitment. Certainly all of us could benefit from a private commitment. A renewed commitment, or a renewal of our commitment to God to live as His faithful servant. 372.
friend, don't believe everyone who claims to have the Spirit of God. Test them all to find out if they really do come from God. Many false prophets have already gone out into the world, and you can know which ones come from God. His Spirit says that Jesus Christ had a truly human body. But when someone doesn't say this about Jesus, you know that person has a spirit that doesn't come from God. It is the enemy of Christ. You knew that this enemy was coming into the world. Now, it's already here.